Good. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining. This is going to be a quick one. this is our, I don't know, fifth series, I guess, in the Azure Power Lunch. So thanks for having me. Today, what we're going to talk about is we're just going to do a quick lap around web apps and Azure app services. So I want to just set the agenda. It's pretty standard. We're going to go over a few service updates, although there weren't much this past week. And then we'll talk about web apps and app services. And then we'll have some time, I hope so, for Q&A. And then I'll share with you a few resources. Last week, Sreed presented the Power Lunch around R, and he shared these Azure updates with you last week. So there hasn't been any new Azure updates announced, at least when I checked. I think it was yesterday. I believe I also checked this morning. So I don't want to spend too much time on it. Instead, I took his slide and I put it up here for you to re-reference again. For more real-time updates, I also included a few links to the Azure blog, Azure updates, and the Azure roadmap site. So this slide deck, along with the recording, I believe it is recording now, will be posted up on Channel 9. Okay. Instead, what I wanted to do is I wanted to take a moment to call to everyone's attention the situation that's surrounding Hurricane Harvey. Many of us have family and friends who are directly affected by the devastation of the hurricane. And although I sit in St. Louis, I do have a home in the western suburbs of Katy, Texas. I won't know the extent of any damage until the water recedes and the city begins to let folks back in. I think they're starting to do that now. In our Microsoft family, there were about 412 employees that were included in the accountability effort. And corporate global security has executed on employee accountability, and all have been accounted for, thank God, and they're all safe. But there are many of them that have sustained significant damage from the flooding. And it's not just the Microsoft family, it's also our customers, many of you guys who are on the phone as well, and also just our fellow citizens, right, in general. So I thought I'd put up a few ways we could assist. There's the American Red Cross, there's the United Way Flood Relief Fund, and then Salvation Army. For Microsoft full-time employees that are on the call, leverage the Give campaign to maximize your donations that goes to these relief efforts. Also, a few other points I wanted to make in this context is don't act in isolation. Work with and through your professional organizations that know how to manage these relief efforts, right? Coordination is key in these emergency response efforts, and it's organizations like these that I have listed here that are built to do that. And also beware of scams. Unfortunately, there are folks out there that are looking to exploit the situation, and they have put together some really, really elaborate schemes to take advantage of the situation in the Gulf. So just be aware of that. On a less somber note, a little bit about me. My name is Michael. I'm a technical specialist with Microsoft sitting in St. Louis, Missouri. My career has roots in software development, primarily in consulting and primarily focused on the Microsoft development stack. I've been a developer in the development center model, moved into a team lead role. After that, I moved into more client-facing roles, such as solutions architect. Prior to Microsoft, I led the application development practice for a local consulting firm here in St. Louis. I'm also active in the community and one of the lead organizers for the St. Louis Developer Conference here named DevUp, and that's my shameless plug for the conference for those of you that are nearby. But the DevUp conference is a three-day technical conference attracting about 12 to 1500 technologists in the region. This is our 10th year putting this conference together, and it's going to be held on October 16th through 18th. So I put the URL up there in case you guys are nearby or interested. We actually have some folks coming up from Texas, so you're not that far away. I also spent most of my childhood and teenage years on Guam. Many of you have probably heard of Guam in the news, with it being sort of the center of the tensions between North Korea and the U.S. It's kind of a shame that it's that context that puts Guam in the national spotlight. But yeah, I'm not a Twitter fiend, but that's my Twitter handle at up there at mkeramit. I do have a presence on social media, but again, I'm not a big tweet guy. But around this time, which is conference time for me, is when I typically start to blast out some tweets. However, like I said, I do watch my Twitter account. So if you guys have any questions or you guys want to reach out and just pick, toss some ideas out, you can reach me that way as well. Let's see what else. I've been at Microsoft for about 15 to 16 months now. And up until July, I was part of what they called the DX organization here in Microsoft. And DX stands for Developer Experience. And I was on the team who was responsible for taking or talking rather to development groups about the Microsoft Cloud and about Microsoft development tools. So I'll be talking to you today through that lens. And my goal in that role was to empower these groups to continuously deliver value to its end users. And with the Microsoft Cloud, Azure, it's now easier to do that more than ever. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, to you folks about today. So when we think about Microsoft Azure or any cloud vendor for that matter, it's really a collection of services, right? And these services are commonly categorized into three high-level buckets. The common nomenclature is infrastructure as a service or IaaS, which includes things like VMs, storage, networks, those types of things. Platform as a service, it's primarily targeted towards app development teams. Those are the teams that are close to my heart. And that includes services such as App Services and SQL Azure. And then finally, there's Software as a Service or SaaS, which are package services that are simply consumed, such as Office 365 or Visual Studio Team Services. For many development groups, the services that resonate well with them are the PaaS services. And today, what I'll be talking about is Azure App Services and Web Apps. So, what are Azure App Services? There are several different app service types. Each one is geared towards a specific purpose. There's the web app service, say that fast 10 times, where you can host web applications, right? API apps are where you can host your APIs and make them discoverable. Logic apps are where you can create workflows to automate your business processes. In logic apps, you call APIs that can live anywhere, whether it's in the cloud or on-prem or whether you're consuming third-party APIs. Logic apps host and execute these workflows for you. All right. What else is there? Mobile apps. You can host the backend for your mobile applications. The unique capabilities of these of this type of service is the ability for mobile clients to work offline and sync when back online and use things like push notifications, right? Function apps they provide a way to run independent pieces of code that can respond to interesting events or webhooks, for example. The code that's hosted in a function app is executed and is independent. It's not part of a website or another application inside of your app service. All of the app services run on top of this thing called the Azure Service Fabric, and that's really where the magic is. It provides that the cloud computing resources beneath it for the apps being hosted. It abstracts the servers and the underlying use resources through the app services or for the app services. It takes care of hosting your app on the Azure resources it uses and make sure that your app keeps running, right? So all that we as developers need to really worry about is our application in the app service. App services share a bunch of capabilities which make creating applications or solutions for our end users easier. And these include things like middleware, things like authentication and authorization, things like scaling, and a bunch of DevOps capabilities which streamline your development processes. It's a great platform that enables your development teams to focus on delivering value or functionality instead of being busy with the underlying in plumbing and infrastructure. So today we'll focus on the web app type in app services. And again, web apps are enable you to host web applications without having to worry about the complexities of your infrastructure. So what are web apps? It helps to look at the traditional way that people look at web applications. So for instance, I have a web application, maybe it's an MVC or Java or Python. In traditional web hosting, I would deploy the app to a web service, whether it be IIS or Tomcat, which runs on a server, and that could be physical or virtual, right? And as a developer, I need the web server to be configured correctly so that my app can run on that, right? And what that means is doing things like configuring app pulls or setting up security permissions, etc. You also have to actually set up the server and the operating system that sits on it. And if that's not enough, you need to make sure that that server has the right security permissions, like firewall settings and antivirus software, perhaps. And then finally, when it's as it's running over time, you'll need to actually even before that, you'll need to expose the server to the internet and make sure that the latest OS updates and patches are applied. And as it's running over time, you still need to do that maintenance of making sure updates and OS updates and patches are applied. With Azure Web Apps, I simply just deploy my application to an Azure Web App, which is really a basically an abstraction of that web server, right? And as a developer, I only provision the web app in Azure and deploy my application to it. That's it. The Azure platform takes care of all that infrastructure plumbing for us through the service fabric. This takes care of allocating the VMs to the web app. And usually there's one VM assigned to the web app, but it depends on the hosting tier and the scaling options that you choose. The point is it really doesn't matter because the service fabric automatically keeps your web app running for you. In hosting web apps, you don't need to worry about things like OS updates, firewall settings, machine configurations. That's all just taken care of. And as a developer using traditional web hosting, we're responsible for the web application and for configuring the web server, and sometimes even have responsibility over the server itself. And that includes the operating system and everything that goes with it, right? On the other hand, with web apps, in Azure App Services, we're only responsible for our application that's hosted on the web app. And this enables us to focus on delivering value to our end users instead of worrying about that infrastructural plumbing. So there are a couple neat features about Azure Web Apps, and too many perhaps to cover in this session, but some of the ones I want to highlight include obviously that it hosts web applications, but it's not just .NET. It's applications in Node or Python or Java or PHP. The app platform makes sure your apps are highly available. You can attach custom domains and SSL certificates if you need to. There's this notion of deployment slots to support DevOps practices such as staging environments, and I'll show you that in a few minutes. It's very easy to set up continuous deployment with web apps. I'll show you that as well. You can scale your web apps manually or automatically, ensuring that you have high availability even during peak traffic time periods. You could configure some of the middleware pieces, such as authentication and authorization, very easily with Azure Web Apps. You can use traffic management to load balance your apps in various ways, allowing you to do things like slowly exposing app changes to your user population. And through hybrid connections, you can configure it to access any on-premise resources that you might have. So let's jump into a few demos. So as a, let me see here, is there any questions? Okay, no questions, just comments. Good. Okay, so as a developer, I'm typically working in my IDE, right? So why don't we just kind of just go through that real quick journey, if you will. So this is Visual Studio 2017, and I'm just going to create a new solution. Per the Azure web app, can I assign it to my own domain? So the answer is yes, and I'll show you that as well. I'm going to create a web app. What I'm going to call this Azure Power Lunch demo. And create that. And so it's an MVC application, right? We're great developers, so we always have a unit test project. So I'll turn that on and that will scaffold all that out for us. So while that's building, let's see what else is there. Okay, thanks, Suraj. While that's building, we should have a solution up in my IDE in a second. Right now, it's adding some of the NuGet packages to my project and referencing it, adding those references as well. Okay, there we go. So there's my scaffolded solution, if you will. It's an MVC project. Because this is VS 2017, what's great about it is it works really well with Azure. But if you're doing things like in Java or using JetBrains' IDE as well, there's plugins and extensions, to Eclipse, for example, that allow you to do some of the things that I'm going to show you here that plug into Azure. So right here, what are the requirements for on-prem resource access? So I'll show you that in a minute. And basically, what you'll do is you'll create a tunnel back into your on-prem network, and that will be able to allow your application that's sitting up in Azure to be able to talk to your on-prem resources. So, first thing here, I could just right click and publish. And again, this is very specific to Visual Studio. I think the Eclipse IDE looks just like this as well when you install the extension to Azure. But if I did right click publish, I get a real nice wizard that allows me to create my resources up in Azure. So I'm going to create new and I'm going to select publish. And it will ask me for a few things. And what I'll do is I'll rename this. This is going to my Azure subscription, and I'm going to create a resource group. Okay. And then I'm going to create a new resource plan. So in selecting a resource plan, it allows you to select a location where you want to put where you want to host this plan at. And it also allows you to select the size of your app service plan. There are obviously different sizes that you could pick. I'm going to just pick the one core 1.75 GB of RAM. We could change this and I'll show you that after this thing gets deployed. So I'll click OK and then create. And what this is doing right now is it's going through two steps of deployment. So it's going through creating these resources for me. It's creating the app service, the resource group, the app service plan, as well as the web app itself. And then it's going to deploy the app. So let's see what that looks like in my Azure portal. So here's my Azure portal. What I also wanted to note is I created all those Azure resources via the IDE. However, you can do that right here in the portal itself. So if I did web app, actually, there it is. So if I did web app and hit create, you'll see that you get prompted for the same types of things that I entered in the IDE as well. Okay. But because I'm a developer, I just did that all in my IDE. So let me go back to here and let's go to resource groups and see what happened. So it's actually going through a deployment. The publish has started. So let's go to back to here and do refresh. And let's see if I see it in there. So there's my app. It just launched. Let's make sure that. I don't see my resource group in here. I wonder if it didn't take the name. So okay, so it deployed out to Azure Power Lunch Demo. AzureWebsites.net. So right away, I already have my app living in Azure right from my IDE. So now I could just focus on creating the new features that matter to my end users, right? So let me see what's going on here. So my resource group is App Insights Data ROI. Okay, that's the problem. It didn't take my setting. Okay, so that's fine. What I can do here is let me go back to here and so there's going to be a little noise that you're going to see here, but what you'll see is you'll see the web app was created, right? The app service plan was also created as well. Okay. So if I went to my web app, let me click that. This is the web app resource that sits in Azure that I just deployed. So right away, you'll see some few things here. And if I start clicking around, you'll get some metrics that show up in my dashboard for that web app. I think it takes a little bit of time to come through. But so right away, you'll see that I have just very quickly created a web app in Azure App Services. But friends don't let friends right-click and publish, right? So what we want to do is we want to set up sort of our continuous delivery pipeline. And what that means is we can set this up so that every time we check in code, we can it will build and then deploy out to this instance of my web app. So let me do this real quick. Let's go back to code here. And I'm just going to make a quick change. Let's go to views, go to home, and let's go to index. It is thinking. And I'll change that to Azure Power Lunch. And let's V1 that. Okay. So now I'll start to check that in. Commit initial scaffold. And then I'll try to sync. There's probably in the sync. And then I'll push it up to my to source control for this thing is bound to a Git repository in VSTS. So now that my code's in there, right, I can go back to my my instance of the web app, and I could do something like set up continuous delivery. And what's cool about this is this will automatically create the CI/CD pipeline right into this instance of a web app. So if I hit configure, it's going to ask me for a few things. It's going to ask me to choose my repository. And what's cool here is I could say, besides team services, I could connect to other types of repositories if I wanted to. I'll select the team services account, select mine, and it'll bring up Azure Power Lunch. The repository is called Azure Power Lunch, and the branch is master. Then I could select configure continuous delivery. It is an ASP.NET app. And the significance of this is it for the build, it actually defines what the build steps are going to be. I could set up a load test. Let me do this. Cancel. I could set up a load test if I wanted to. And what that will do is It will set up the steps where my app will get deployed somewhere at first, and then I could spin up a whole bunch of virtual users that actually hit that app and apply some load to my app. So I'll get some real quick metrics back off of that. But I won't set it up here because it takes a few minutes to actually run that load test. So I'll just bypass that. I think what I wanted to show you is the deployment here. So I could deploy to what's called staging. So what this will do is actually set up a deployment slot for me, and it'll go into a staging deployment slot before it actually goes out to my production site that you just saw up here, right? So if I do that, it'll create the deployment slot. And it will go back into my VSTS instance, and it will start to set up my build definition and my release definition. Okay, so that's going to take probably a minute or two. And while that is going, let me kind of just show you a few other things here. Let's see, we've got 2 minutes. Okay, so application settings. This is where you can set up your application settings. If you're doing Java, you can set up your Java version. You could set up your PHP version, your Python version, but also too, you can set up app settings and connection strings, right? So these are things that are typically in web.configs. Now you're removing it from what's in source control and you're sort of overriding it here, right? So this is great because how many of us have checked in some sensitive credentials perhaps into source control because it wasn't it we just let it go, right? So we would set it up in here and it would just be kept in Azure. The other thing is here's where we can leverage authentication and authorization. And if I turn that on, I could use some of the out-of-the-box auth providers, Azure Active Directory and some of the more common social providers here as well. Custom domains and SSL certificates. So this is where you would set up your host names. And if you don't have any domains set up, you can buy one straight from here. So again, the Azure team is trying to just make it to break down the barriers for you to move forward on this. Let me scroll down to some of the other things that I mentioned. Let me go up here. Here we go. So app service plan. If I wanted to change my app service plan and I wanted to scale up, I could do that as well. So I could scale up my app service plan. And this is the S1 tier that I selected, right? Here it is. But I could, if I needed more power, if you will, I'm on the machines underneath, I could go to something like Premium V2. And that would be sort of a manual setting. If I wanted to scale out my plan, I could scale it out. I could scale it out manually. So right now I'll have one instance of my web app running, but I could scale this out to four, for example. Or I could do things that's more intelligent, right? So like enabling auto scale, where I could do things like measure the average CPU percentage, and if it's greater than 70%, then what I want you to do is I want you to increase the account by one instance or two instances, or I could increase the account to a number of instances. Then I could also add a rule to do the inverse of that, right? So if it goes below 70% for a duration of 10 minutes, then take it back down. So then now it's really flexible. So let's see what happened here. So if we went to my builds, this is my instance of VSTS. What you'll see is the Azure PowerLunch demo was created and it succeeded. And then if I went to releases, you'll see that it is actually in the process of being released or deployed to my environment. So very quickly, right, I already created my full-on development pipeline. In less than 15, 10 minutes, right? So what I wanted to share with you guys today was I wanted to share with you guys how you can leverage the power of the cloud to do these things for you very quickly, right? And so as developers, what we can do is we can just get back to what we do well, which is writing code and delivering value to our end users. So with that, let me conclude. Let me bring up this slide here. Again, so here are the resources that I have for you. It's the Azure homepage, the Azure blog, and the Azure updates. All these sort of give you the roadmap or the latest announcements around Azure. The Azure Power Lunch link is the link to the Channel 9 channel that this webcast will be posted to you along with the slides. And I also put four links to a whole bunch of resources that you could look at around app services, around mobile apps and web apps, around highly scalable apps, those types of things. So there it's a combination of videos as well as documentation. So with that, sorry to go over, but I will conclude and if there are any questions or
Thank you so much for everyone for joining. So, Michael, we have some questions that we can follow up offline with Mike.
Okay.
And we are already a little bit over time.
Right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. And thank you so much, Mike. It was a great presentation. I think it was very helpful for everyone to understand what app services can do and how they can empower you to provide more value rather than spin up your IaaS VMs. Thank you.
All right, thanks, everybody. Thanks for having me and have a great weekend.
Yep. Have a great weekend, you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Great weekend. Bye-bye.